We need to go ahead and dismiss the kids right now. If you have children and you want them to go to children's church, they may be dismissed. If you're an adult, you're not allowed to go to children's church. Yeah. 32. No. All right. Well, good morning. This morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 as we look at obstacles turned into opportunities. Had a friend used to always say whenever there was we run into a roadblock or something like that or an obstacle, he'd say, "This is an opportunity." And I never saw obstacles always as an opportunity, especially when you're working as a mechanic and you got to get the airplane on the line, you know, and everything like that. And they're like, "This is just an opportunity." I was like, "Shut up with your opportunity already, you know. I just want to get the airplane done. I don't care about learning something new right now." I don't know about you, but I know that many of us have had to overcome obstacles, have had to overcome struggles and things in our life. Just a little insight, when I was growing up, going through school, I didn't really like school very much and didn't think it was very important. And so consequently, I would much rather have been playing football, basketball, baseball, or anything other than doing school. And so consequently, I never learned to read real well at all. Matter of fact, I was terrible at reading. And all of my report cards in elementary school, my mom still has them, all of them have the note on them that says, "James has trouble reading. James has trouble reading." And when I got out of high school and went to college, I took a reading test that they gave all the incoming freshmen, and I scored at the seventh grade level entering college. And I graduated, sadly enough, in the top quarter of my class in high school. There you go. With a seventh grade reading level, I was in the top quarter of my class. Yay. But that was an obstacle I had to overcome. I had to spend a lot of extra time studying and reading and everything than other kids did in college. When I was 17, I went with teen missions to Haiti. And they send you to Merritt Island, Florida first, and there's 2 weeks where you get to know your team and everything like that. And there's chapels and there's Bible studies and all that stuff. But every day, we ran the obstacle course. And the purpose of the obstacle course was to get us to function together as a team. And so as a team, you head out to this course, and along the course, there's these different obstacles, and there's some of them are physical, and some of them are mental, and you have to overcome the mental, you know, solve the puzzle or whatever and go on. The very last piece of the obstacle course was a 12-foot wall. No ropes, no handles, nothing, just a bare 12-foot wall, and everybody on the team had to get over the 12-foot wall, so you had to figure out how you were going to do it. And being young and 17 and, you know, fearless, that was just a lot of fun. And so we'd jump on each other's back, and we'd get guys on the top of the wall, and we'd be hauling people over the wall. And then you get down to, of course, there's only a couple people left, and you're like, how are we going to get them? You know, and so we'd end up having two guys on the wall. Another guy would be with his back. He'd flip down, and he'd hang there, and somebody would grab and climb up him. And anyway, it was just a lot of fun. But you learn your team really well, and I learned a lot about myself, too. I learned at that time I wasn't very patient with people. Because we had one young lady that was really struggling to get up the wall, and I'm hanging on to her, and she's like, I can. I'm like, if you say that one more time, we're going to drop you. And she said, "But I can't." I realized that I needed to work on my patience during that time. And so that was an obstacle I had to overcome. I'm still, by the way, working on it and not doing very well sometimes. But as the Apostle Paul and Silas go out on this mission trip, remember they picked up Timothy on their way, and so as they're going on, they're going to come across some obstacles and some roadblocks. And so let me just read the passage. We're in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 through 15. As we just kind of join them along on their second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul's anyway. This would be Silas's first that we have record of. So Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and following, it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Now, there's much more in that chapter, but for today, we only have time for this section. As we look at obstacles turned into opportunities, the first thing we look at is we look at closed doors. In the very beginning here, it says that they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and we know that's true. Let's just get a little map here. Remember, when Paul left Antioch, he left and went north and went through the region of Cilicia and then on through to through Pisidia here, visiting these churches that he had planted on his first missionary journey. And that was what they had determined to do. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to go visit those churches. But after having done that, they decided, hey, let's go on through this area into Asia. And my guess is that Paul wanted to go down to Ephesus. If you were the Apostle Paul and you're strategically wanting to reach many people for the gospel, you're thinking, let's go to Ephesus. Let's go to this big city. Let's go reach people. And so they tried to go into this region here. And there were a lot of cities in through here and a lot of places, and we're hoping that there was an open door. But the Scripture says the Holy Spirit said no. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't go down into this region. Is that because the Holy Spirit didn't want people to come to faith in Christ in that region? No, it's because God had a plan, and at this time, his plan wasn't for this region. And so instead of that, they said, okay, the Holy Spirit's saying, no, let's go up to Bithynia. Let's go up north into this area. And it says that the Spirit of Jesus forbid us. Now, we don't know how he did that. The Scripture doesn't say how the Holy Spirit said no, or how the Spirit of Jesus forbid them, or prevented them in any way. So not being able to go north, they decided to head this way into this region. This is actually, it's not on the map, but this is the region of Mysia. And it's if you look at older maps, it'll say this is the region of Mysia. And so they ended up in Troas, which is the ancient city of Troy. Some of you may remember that better. So they end up there on the coast of the Aegean Sea, on the seaport there of the city named Troas. And that's where they kind of hunker down. They tried to go in that area, but they couldn't. I had another map here. This same region just kind of blown up a little bit more. And so instead of being able to come down into this area, now these are all the cities that were in that area. These are all the seven cities, or there was churches in those cities that are in the book of Revelation. So we know eventually they get the gospel. Matter of fact, I think Paul spends 3 years in Ephesus at one time. And it says that because during his 3 years there, this whole region, everyone had heard the gospel in that whole region when Paul spent 3 years there. Now, we know he never went to Colossae, which is over here by Laodicea. When he wrote a letter to them, but he never went there. But what happened was one of Paul's disciples named Epaphras traveled over into this area. There's actually three cities near Laodicea. There's Laodicea, Colossae, and Hierapolis. They're a triad of cities. And so we know that this region got the gospel, but it wasn't at this time. So they ended up at Troas, which is right up in this area here. And so so they were forbidden. We don't know how they were forbidden, but we know that there was obstacles put in their way. The Lord Jesus said, no, do not go this way. So so they end up there in Troas. And while they were in Troas, the scriptures tell us that Paul had a vision. The Apostle Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia. Macedonia, as you know, is on the other side of the Aegean Sea. It's over in this area. And it's actually now it's Europe. And so so that's where he has this vision there in Troas. He has a vision of a man from this region saying, come over and help us. And so we see here, we see open doors. Now we see an open door here of someone from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Now, did Paul know this man personally? There's no indication that he knew them. And there's no indication that this is not necessarily even a real man. This is a vision that the Apostle Paul has of someone calling out, crying out for help. Someone says that the long ago, someone said the man from Macedonia actually turned out to be a woman. I don't know about that because it's Lydia that is the first one that has led to Christ in that region. And so we have open doors here. An open door into Macedonia. Notice what the scripture says, that they have this vision, and he says, immediately we left. In other words, he didn't hang out in Troas. He didn't sit there and go, now I wonder what this vision means. Maybe we should analyze this. Maybe I should run this by the body of Christ. Maybe I should, I wonder what this vision actually, no. Immediately, because they were looking for direction. As they were walking through this area, they were going, let's go down here. Nope, let's not. Nope, how about this? No, not there. Okay, let's go here. And then they get a vision of a guy from Macedonia, and that was their answer. And so they didn't need anything else. They didn't need any more confirmation. They just went. And so what they did is they boarded a ship, and they sailed to the island of Samothrace or whatever it was, and then they overnighted, and then they went into to the port city there of Neapolis, and they didn't even wait there. They just went, and it's 10 miles inland. Philippi is 10 miles inland from the port there to Philippi, and so they went right straight to Philippi. This was an open door. They didn't have to consult anybody. They didn't have to think about it. They just went. Not that we're going to take any time to think about or study it, or I'm not making any theology here or anything, but I just want you to think about how it seems like when God is about to do something huge in the book of Acts, he precedes it with a vision. Remember, Peter was on the rooftop. God was going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter's on a rooftop, and he's taking a nap, and he has a vision of the sheet coming down and everything like that. And that was God's way of saying, I'm bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul here is in Troas, and he's seeking